It was to be the showdown of showdowns. The tension was palpable. All eyes were on Jesus. Now, during Jesus' ministry, he shunned the spotlight, skirting from town to town. And when he healed someone, he instructed them not to tell anyone. But as he rode into Jerusalem, surrounded by thousands of Passover pilgrims, he welcomed the spotlight. The long-awaited Messiah, the Son of David, was riding into Jerusalem to liberate the Jewish people. It was to be the moment of truth. And here's the deal. Jesus orchestrated the whole thing. The where and when. Jerusalem at Passover. The how. Telling his disciples to go get him a donkey to ride on to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. And the crowd knew, and they played their part as scripted by Psalm 118. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord with boughs in a hand. Join the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. If there had been any ambiguity for the people, the religious leaders, for the Romans, for that matter, about who Jesus was, it was dispelled. Because Jesus was presenting himself as the Messiah, the rightful King of Israel. And Jesus knew it would lead to a confrontation. How could it not? People were dancing in the streets. It was being thrown into the faces of the religious authorities and the Romans. They were being pushed into a corner, and they would come out swinging. They were going to kill him. And we know they will because we know the story, right? We know the whole story. We know that they will kill him because they had Jesus all wrong. Even the disciples had it wrong. Remember when James and John had their mother go up to Jesus and try to negotiate positions in the government for her son? What about the disciples? Three times Jesus predicted his death, and they just couldn't get it. You see, the thought that the Messiah was to be a divinely anointed warrior who would liberate Israel and reestablish the kingdom of David was so ingrained in the cultural consciousness of the Jewish people that they could not see Jesus clearly. And let's not think we would have been any different. Because just like them, we get it wrong too. They had their false expectations of who Jesus was, and so do we. We do. We think of Jesus as some sort of divine insurance policy. That if I sign on the dotted line to be a follower of Jesus, somehow I will be sheltered and shielded from the pain and suffering of the world. Jesus will protect me from the catastrophic accident, the cancer, the death of the child. You fill in the blank. And like a good neighbor, Jesus is there. Or we think of Jesus as our cosmic butler, ready to hop to whenever we have a request, a need, or a demand. Lord Jesus, help me make this deal, get this loan, land this job. Lord Jesus, help me get that parking space at the mall, the one close to the entrance, so I don't have to walk that far. Or we think of Jesus as our life coach. Jesus, teach me how to be more patient, more mindful, more present, or just not to be such a jerk. Jesus, fix me. Or better yet, help me fix myself so I can be happy and lead a better, fuller, and more marvelous life and then take all the credit. Listen, they had false expectations of who Jesus was, and so do we. We have warped Jesus into a projection of our needs. Whether it's to alleviate our fear and anxiety with State Farm Jesus, or to fulfill our most mundane and petty needs with Butler Jesus, or to equip us to live our best lives with Life Coach Jesus. In some ways, in many ways, we have turned Jesus into an idol of our own making. And Jesus rides into Jerusalem ready for a showdown. And this week, if we let him, he will ride into our lives ready for one too. It was clear then, and it is clear now, who Jesus is. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And he demanded a response from the people 2,000 years ago, and he demands one today. Crown me or crucify me. Crown me or crucify me. Either I am the Son of God, the Messiah, so crown me, your Lord and King, and live under my righteous, just, merciful, benevolent, and sovereign rule, or you must crucify me. There's no middle ground, because I will not be your butler, your coach, or your insurance policy. We are being called to cast off our false projections of who we want Jesus to be for us and accept Jesus as the Son of God, our King and Lord. And if we're unwilling to crown him King, then we must crucify him. Get rid of him. Erase him from our minds, our consciences, our lives, and our culture. And that is what the world has tried to do. It has. The Romans tried it for 300 years. The communists tried it in the 20th century. Today, secular humanism is doing its best and perhaps is winning the battle. Our culture is trying to erase Jesus by relegating him to the sidelines as just a benign teacher, an irrelevant religious icon, a dusty historical fiction, or by turning him into some sort of cultural tchotchke, a trinket, a talisman that we just wear around our necks. Or finally, by demonizing him as a threat to our self-promoting, self-determinizing, religiously pluralist, empty, virtue-signaling cultural agenda. And they do it all in the hopes of making him something he is not, either irrelevant, impotent, or dangerous. Listen, Jesus demands that either we crown him or we crucify him. And this week is our showdown. We get to witness again the triumphant entry, the Last Supper, the agony of Gethsemane, the betrayal, the flogging, the unjust verdict, the cross and the empty tomb, all revealing Jesus' true identity. He is God. Sacrifice, Savior, and Sovereign. Let us cast off our false projections and once again choose to crown Him King and Savior of our lives and the world. Amen.